another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 226 for October 30th, 2019. Everybody, welcome back to The Boop Show. This is The Boop Show. We're a couple of days late. We apologize, but it's happening today. It's not.
I apologize for nothing.
Well, look, you had a car thing, and car things have to get taken care of, okay? That's just the rule. And yeah. We weren't going to like have you not worry about your car or not get it fixed. So, yeah, duh.
I have to get to point A to point B. Come on.
Yeah, how'd it go, by the way? Is it all back and good and the front end's aligned and all that stuff you had to do?
Yes, it is. It is all back and good. We are rocking and a rolling with the car. Now all we need is about a paint job and all their kinds of cosmetic stuff. Oh,
that's a fun time, dude. That's a fun time. No, cars are a pain. I hate them.
No, I actually love my car. Otherwise, you know, I could just go forget it and just go buy something else. But I like it.
What do you have, by the way? What kind of car is it?
I have a 2005 Nissan Altima SER. Oh,
nothing wrong with that. That's a good
car. It's fine. It's a good car. It's a 6-speed, 3.5 liter engine. So it's good. I got a 2-stage clutch in there. All right.
Yeah.
Woot.
Well done. Very pleased to hear it.
Very pleased.
Well, all right. Well, I'm glad that all worked out. But we wanted to make sure to do a show. So we're here going to do a show. We are not delinquent in that desire to do a show. And now we're going to do one. Oh, did I not move this over? Hold on. I've got a new thing I use.
Except we're not going to do one. Well, we're going to do one, but it's not going to happen today. So tune in next week.
We definitely are doing one. The question is, where's my thing? Apparently. Oh, I do have it. Here you go. And now the games we'll talk about this week. You know, we're doing this on the eve. Well, Halloween Eve, first of all.
Yeah, it's Halloween Eve-y.
Yeah, right. but then Halloween is... BlizzCon Eve.
Right.
And BlizzCon is this Friday. And normally I'm there, but I'm not. So I wanted to let Boop listeners know that instead I'm doing what I call a BlizzCon simulstream. I haven't done this since 2012 when they didn't do one. They didn't do one in 2012 for some reason. That was weird. And I haven't not been since 2011. So I have, this is a weird year for me to not go, but I'm not going. And instead, I'm going to do a little simulcast of the opening ceremonies and all the announcements. And John Jagger and Bo Schwartz are going to do it with me from the Core Podcast. So they're going to hang out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That'll be tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain. So what is that? Maybe a little bit before so we can get prepped.
Yeah. That's like.
Not tomorrow. Sorry. Friday. I keep saying tomorrow. My week is all broken. It's all busted up.
It's all jacked up.
It's in pieces. But yeah, we're going to do that. That should be fun. And
so there's no Core tonight, right?
No Core tonight. That's the reason there's no Core tonight, because we're shifting all of our efforts to about a 2.5-hour thing on Friday. There will be stuff on the feed for Core, of course. After that, we'll use a bunch of that audio. But yeah, we're not going to.
I approve of this. You have received my approval.
Yeah, and it'll be a very minimalist overlay on Friday. So Lemonade 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Is good
so
hands.
So you won't have like all the arcade stuff on there. Thank God. That thing.
Hey, anyway, let's talk about games. So both of us picked up a game.
Wait, I want to tell you about my Halloween story. I didn't get to tell you.
Okay,
about.
Go tell me. I want to hear it.
It's not really all that interesting, but it is to me. Where I work at, we have cashiers, and those cashiers have spent almost a week getting prepared for a surprise for Halloween, and their surprise is they're coming as the Pac-Man ghost and Pac-Man and Mrs. Pac-Man.
Nice.
And today they put up this amazing mural made from a black tablecloth and painter's tape, and they put up a Pac-Man maze on the wall. It is fantastic looking.
Whoa.
And I said, holy Moses, what are you doing when you get rid of it? So next week, I'm going to have that thing behind me. It looks fantastic. I was impressed. They were making joysticks today. Big, giant joysticks.
Wow.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, that Pac-Man. Sounds great. What a cool thing. Check this out.
Let's play Pac-Man.
All right, let's play Pac-Man.
Pac-Man.
Activate Pac-Man.
Activate Pac-Man. What is that from?
I don't know, but listen to that accent.
Activate Pac-Man.
You can tell it's like
a bit
like a Japanese dude trying really hard to keep that American accent going. Here's another good sound. Oh, that's a sexy one, isn't it? Makes you want to just get in there.
But the only thing that did make me sad, just about everybody had played Pac-Man up there.
Yeah.
But then when I started digging deeper, nobody knew the other things. They knew Miss Pac-Man, but they didn't know like all the other games that came after or the cartoon or anything like that.
Oh, the cartoon is so bad. It's great. You should go back and watch it. I think that's probably streaming.
Absolutely is. Yeah. And there's a newer cartoon too, and it's terrible as well. But it reminded me of me and you playing Battle Royale last week when we were talking about Pac-Man Fever and all those songs there.
Yeah, that.
I guess that's all they really know from it.
That Pac-Man game on Apple Arcade, I think, is super fun. A lot of people are complaining about it, though, because it doesn't have online. Well, it has online multiplayer, but not like matchmaking. So you have to do kind of Nintendo style. You got to give out codes. Now, that's not true of other games on the service. There's plenty of games where you just have a room and you match up and you play the game and everyone's good. But for some reason, that game features none of that, and I don't know why. But anyway, I congratulate you on your Pac-Man fever you have this season. Nice job.
It's going to be awesome.
Yep.
Let's play Pac-Man.
Okay. Big Pac-Man. What do I do first?
Activate Pac-Man.
All right, I'll activate Pac-Man first. But now I'll tell you about another game. Are you ready now? Your Halloween story's over?
Yeah, I'm done. It wasn't really a story as much as an anecdote. There you go.
I liked it. Thank you for the anecdote. Okay, The Outer Worlds came out.
And yes, it did.
Both of us picked it up. Now, I'm playing it on PC. Are you doing it on Xbox or PC?
I'm doing it on the Xbox One.
Okay, totally fine. In fact, that's great because I want to talk about some... actually, the experience is probably not much different because... No, I am playing with mouse and keyboard.
I think there is a little bit of different experience. Some very basic stuff from the graphics being a little more rich on the PC. Yeah. However, also, in addition to being rich, there's also glitch.
There's rich and glitch, yeah. A little bit of rich, a little bit of glitch. Actually, I haven't really had any glitch. I've had zero lockups, zero bugs, zero game-altering moments of problem. Mm. I haven't had any problems, actually. Zero. So I didn't expect that because the game, if those not familiar, comes from Obsidian Entertainment. These guys are famous for a lot of RPGs in the past. In particular, one of my favorite games of all time was Fallout New Vegas. They did that game. They also did all the Pillars of Eternity stuff that have been on PC recently, and those just hit consoles, I guess. Or the second one did, Deadfire. They're responsible for a lot of my favorite. I really like the way they do RPGs. Their storytelling, the way they do the systems, I just think is, for some reason, is on my frequency, and it sings to me, and I love it. So it was a no-brainer I was going to pick this up. But I did expect, like I do with most big, sprawling role-playing games, to have a ton of bugs. And I think the reason this has less than, say, something like New Vegas had when it launched, because it did, it had bugs.
Oh, it was buggy.
I think part of it is because they have chosen to do a much tighter tighter structure to the design of this game than they have previous games. So an example would be you look at a game like Fallout New Vegas, and it is just a gigantic space. It is one of the biggest open worlds there is. Think of Skyrim, think of those kinds of Bethesda software games. And because they're so big, and because you can pick up everything from a tiny little thing on the ground to fight a giant dragon halfway across the world, and then every possible interaction in between, you open yourself up for a lot of open world jankiness, okay? And I think bugs just come from that. So this is a tighter, more, not directed, because I still think it feels very open and free. But they're not giving you just a gigantic space and you got to go figure it out. They're giving you moderately large spaces to work in on these different planets in the places that you land. I've never tried to run and see if I could find a wall anywhere, but they still feel big, but also feel small and like you can handle it. And therefore, I think there's just a lot more chances for something to freak out and break.
Yeah.
So
I think I agree with your assessment, and I have actually hit a wall, but that's fine because I got lost and got turned around. It's no big deal. But honestly, I feel like there's so much packed. I mean, you can't hardly walk 5 feet without running into a character for some dialogue interaction. Yep. So, I mean,
It's still got all that stuff in space.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like I haven't even left like the first area, really. I haven't even got off the planet, which, by the way, that was my, I was disappointed from my own, you know, thoughts that it was going to be a certain game. Yeah. Not because anything was marketed towards me like that. I just thought, oh, there'd be a lot of world traveling, and I was incorrect.
Yeah, it's less, how do I even, I don't even know what to compare this to, because there's other, okay, so, all right, let's do it this way. I'm going to explain it this way. Let's say, all right, I'm going to explain this the easiest way I can.
Do it.
The world, or the game feels like Fallout New Vegas and Mass Effect 2 had a baby.
And said, and what a baby it be, too. Yep,
it pooped it out, slapped it on the butt, and said, hey, what you got there? You got there a game that looks like a hybrid of those two games. And in a lot of ways it is. So you kind of have this... this ship thing where all your NPCs are standing around. They've all got stories to fulfill. Some of them have quests you want to do with them. It's very Mass Effect in that regard. There's a ship AI you have to communicate with. And then you go to like a console that lets you see the galaxy or the solar system you're in. And then, you know, you'll see that, oh, I've got a quest I got to finish over on this planet or this asteroid. And you'll choose that asteroid and a little teeny ship will go wee over to the thing. It's just like Mass Effect did it, especially 2 in my memory. Then all the on the ground stuff and really all the interactions on the ship too, but they're all very reminiscent of a Fallout game where it's sort of, you know, dude's shoulders and face or lady talking to you, lots of dialogue options, depending how you're spec'd, you might be able to lie to them, get away with it, or you might be able to charm them and get away with it, or maybe you don't have enough so you can't.
I charmed them and got away with it too.
But it's all that stuff that you expect from a Fallout or a Bethesda style sort of Skyrim / Elder Scrolls game. It's all that kind of interaction and storytelling, but it's done in a much more tight way. So when you have a mission to do, it's like, well, go land on this planet and do the thing. You'd go to that planet, and while there's lots of side stuff to do there, and I would recommend doing all of it because it's all very good and well written and well thought out. It's not just fetch quests, which is great.
Right.
You get down there and you're presented with like, all right, this is a zone where I know I need to get to that place, back over to this place, this other place, and then I need to come back to where the ship's parked. And pretty much everything's going to happen kind of generally in that space. And there's fast travel between those spots once you've revealed them. But that's it. It's not like you can just go run that way in the desert and 9 hours later you're still running in the desert the way Fallout was. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's just here's the nice little place where all this can happen. And I think because I actually like the big giant janky world stuff. I think this is smart though, because I'm getting a lot more out of the story, the characters, and the RPG systems than I normally do in a game like this.
Right.
It's like they made it for me in a lot of ways, because in a lot of ways this is exactly what I want to play
it for
all the
us.
Time. Yeah. You like
it
too.
I think this really scratched both our itches. I love what you've said, and I also love I just really dig some of the weapons.
Oh yeah, they're great, right?
Because I have like a staff, and I must have laughed for 5 minutes after I wound up my staff, and it's got like a ball on the end of it. And it makes like a humming noise, and I laid into one of the marauders, boom! And I laid it; his arms and legs flew off.
Whoa!
I was like, "What?" And it all shot off like in a straight direction. I wasn't expecting it.
Oh yeah, and guys, really blow up, just... people blow up in really good ways, and the animals do too. Yeah. The creature stuff.
Yeah.
So like, my favorite
it's pretty
is
satisfactory.
My favorite thing about it is there's definitely a vibe to it of, you know, how the Fallout thing achieves this through, hey, it was the 50s when we all got in these vaults, and then we came out and it was utter destruction. But still, everywhere you go, there's like, I never want to set the world on fire. You know, he's like. Songs going that are old-timey, and there's like a lot of references visually of like, don't forget to buy war bonds today, that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it gives you this discordant feeling of like optimism and propaganda.
Yeah.
And then destruction and awfulness. And this game achieves that differently though. It's the universe is run by corporations and everything. And I think a lot of this stuff's very funny. The dialogue's great about it. But a lot of it is like, you know, don't forget to try our branded whatever. And the brands hate each other. And there's a lot of warring factions that are just different brands, which doesn't seem that crazy to me now. I used to think that sounded like nuts, but it's starting to feel a little bit of that out there.
It feels very. And oh, my gosh, the characters, when you talk to them, there's so many of them. There's so many different levels of the Kool-Aid they've drank.
Yeah.
So like you'll run into a character and you're like, they're just totally tainted with a certain philosophy or an idea. And because of that, everybody seems to be like, everybody's like in a gray area. Even when you're asked to do something that's kind of questionable and you're like, well, I usually wouldn't do this in one of these kind of stories. You know, I wouldn't usually go kick the orphans out of the orphanage, but the way you phrased it, I kind of want to go kick the orphans out of the orphanage.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, or the orifice.
Or the orifice. Kick them out. Look, those damn orphans spending too much time in the orifice, if you know what I'm saying.
I haven't felt this gray in a while. I mean, it's like everything is a gray area. I don't really feel like, lots of times I feel like in a game, I've got to choose either good or evil, and I have to kind of stick with that because that's the path I've chosen. Here, it just feels very, just overall gray. More like Fallout New Vegas, where it's just like, okay, you know, my decisions are decisions, but I don't know how good or bad they really are. We'll find out when we do them.
Yeah, I'm of the same opinion, and I think that that's great. A game like this needs to feel like that. It needs to feel like your decisions matter, and boy, howdy do they. I've had a number of occasions where I've made a decision that I was either immediately regretted or I knew it was the wrong call or whatever, but I was still curious how things were going to play out, and boy, did they play out differently. Like the town you're in right now, I'm long gone from there.
Oh yeah,
but they hate my guts, and if I set foot in there, they'll shoot me because I made a decision that really screwed them over.
Yeah,
and I don't want to give away what that decision was, but it's one of your first major choices you have to make in the game.
Yeah, you're going to screw some people over. I'm actually past that area as well, but you're going to screw definitely in those first couple areas. I definitely know I've screwed somebody. Somebody's always getting screwed. You got to pick a side,
and it's nice and complicated. It doesn't feel like a black or white choice or a binary choice. It's like, well, if I do this, then they're hosed. If I do this, and then they're hosed. Either way, I'm hosing innocent people, but I really don't like their leader. Their leader seems okay, but also kind of sketchy. Like, you're having to make choices about really complicated sort of stuff, and I think that's hard in games, and I think they did a really good job of this.
Very hard.
And here's what's the, I guess, is the good part of the bad part, but I had 3 or 4 side quests queued up to go for one side, and then I made a decision that screwed that side over, and all those quests animated, too, all went bloop. Bloop, bloop, bloop. They just disappear like Pac-Man dead. And as we all know with Pac-Man.
Activate Pac-Man.
You have to activate it.
Activate Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. So I think I can make that. Whoops. Wait, I have to do this. Hold on. No, that doesn't work. Anyway. Oh, we put it on loop. Here we go. Oh, it's just slow. It's slow, Pac-Man.
Slow. Anyway, oh my god.
So anyway. Whoops. Sorry. So when you screw over those guys, all these quests disappear, and it's kind of like, oh man, I wanted to do those quests. But it's a great encouraging thing to, like, when this is all done, I'm probably gonna go back through and make different decisions.
That's what I was gonna ask. Do you feel like you're gonna go back in and play through? Because I mean, it's not a super long game, but it's fairly long. And
I've been told 30 hours if you do everything, 15 if you do mainline hours.
That's what I've heard too. I think that's what how long to beat reported last time. Of course, now that we've had some more data in here, maybe we can get a little better idea. So the Outer Worlds is, completionist is 28 hours. So it's skewing even shorter than I thought.
Okay.
So just 10 and a half for the main story. If I finish that up,
I'll totally finish it. Yeah. Weekend. Yeah. This
and
is
then
not
hop back in.
Five, 10 hours is no big deal. I'm probably not going to, my problem is I'm taking my sweet time and I'm enjoying every single side thing.
Yeah.
Cause they're really well made. I'm telling you right now, if you were to ask me today, what Scott's game of the year, it's probably this. There's other stuff coming still. We got the rest of the year to go, and I'll get back to you, but man,
it'd be hard to argue with you. I had this feeling, though. I just keep having this nagging feeling like it's just gonna fail me somewhere, but so far it's straddled right between not blowing me away but also just being a very solid game, and just the play is just really good.
Alex in the chat asks, what are we rolling with as far as gear? I am specking mostly in long guns and a little bit in melee, but also a lot in science. So I'm putting my points. I try not to be, I'm terrible min-maxer, okay? When it comes to RPGs, people will tell you that you just need to pick your 3 or 4 major skills and just throw all your money in that and forget about everything else. I'm terrible at that because I'll be roaming around in this world and I'll talk to somebody and realize, ooh, if I just had lying up a little bit, I could have gotten away with this. So next time I crank a bunch of points into lying and now I can lie real good. But at the end of the day, I kind of want to have everything. And you don't want to be an average sort of jack of all trades. You kind of want to specialize. So I am trying this time to specialize. I do mostly long guns, a little bit of energy melee. But I'm kind of using the combo depending on the fights as well. Like if things get real hairy sometimes, like that's the other thing. The game's got a pretty robust fighting system where if I'm fighting robots. Yeah, and if I'm fighting robots like the ones that are patrolling old stations and stuff, they're just going to kill you no matter what. And regular bullets don't do jack to them. It hurts them a little bit, not that bad. So you want to use electricity-based weapons, which are often melee, guns. And those are great. Like, you can take those guys down in no time at all. The plasma gun is really good at taking down mechs, whereas people are going to go down faster with bullets. Like, there's a lot of that going on, so I'm switching weapons a lot. The gear's super cool. It's an expansive... deep RPG. It's what I wanted. It's what I freaking wanted. And I'm so glad they gave it to me. Part of me is going to be sad when it's only 10 and a half hours and I'm done, or 20 or however long it takes me.
Oh yeah. It'll probably be close to 20 for me. Cause I've went around in circles a couple of times. Cause I'll engage in some dialogue and I'm like, yeah, I'm not ready to make that decision yet. And I'll kind of leave and walk around and talk to other people. Mm-hmm. And just every person I get a chance to talk to, I'm trying to do as well as do as well. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get them all in bed.
Yeah.
But no, I'm with you. I like the melee stuff. I'm also mostly doing engineering in my tech category. So
that's good. You can hack stuff, get doors open.
That's
easier.
That's what I like doing. I like hacking it.
Yeah.
Hacking it.
I like getting doors. I like lock stuff. I kind of like stealing things when no one's looking.
I've actually avoided all stealing. And you know, when you get your companion, it's like certain times you get companions, it's according to the area in. It's like you got constantly their own like on your back and you're like, move so I can steal something.
So I've only got three companions so far. You can have up to three at a time with you.
I think you can have
six total that are waiting on your ship to beach. And that's very Mass Effect. That's how Mass Effect worked. When you left the ship, you decided who to take with you. Right now I have the engineer chick who fixes everything. And the lady who heals, they're the main two I always take, and then sometimes I'll swap around. But I really, really like it. The systems are deep. It's a very good game. You could probably do a whole show breaking down why it's good. But here's the number one reason I'm in love with it, and that is, I mean, it's almost embarrassingly. This game's worth $60, but it's embarrassing how easy it is to get for so little. If you are new to Microsoft Game Pass, either on PC or Xbox. It's dirt cheap. On PC, for $1, you can get in. It's a month for $1, and then it's $4.99 after that. But then still, $5 a month? Like, it's stupid cheap.
And it's a 10.5-hour game. You could finish that in a month easy. Come on.
Think about it. It's like renting a AAA brand-new title for $1. It's the stupidest thing. So take advantage of that because it's the best deal in gaming, honestly.
We don't get anything for this, by the way, for pimping out.
Oh, no. I get nothing for this. I just think I'll just say it. And I don't know how long it can last because I feel like they're just throwing money away. But they have the best deal in gaming right now when it comes to these services.
I think they've PlayStation has received a little heat this past week because they're kind of getting rid of the PlayStation View, their TV streaming service, and they're wanting to get back to focusing on their gaming and stuff. And so it's probably a smart move. But man, their market got crowded real quick on both sides, didn't it? Woo.
Well, View ends what 30th of January. They're pulling out, and it does sound like a consolidation where they're like, you know what, we make all our money on the gaming side. What are we even doing with this? The streaming service is now a dime a dozen, and why are we doing this? So they're getting out of that. I think that's probably good for us as gamers. You know, Microsoft has done the same. Their original plan with the Xbox One was to be, oh, your set-top box and a million TV services, and how are you going to use Skype and watch the game, and like all this dumb stuff. And they've pulled way away from that and focused on games. I think
they focused on stuff like Mixer, which is, you know, they pulled Ninja over there. So they're making some smart gaming choices.
They got three of those guys. They got Mixer, they got Shroud now, and they got that other guy's name I never remember. And they paid handsomely for all three. Mixer's still not gaining much ground against Twitch, but it's a super interesting, like, you know, watching all that go down.
I mean, if you're already in the service, it's right there in your face when you look at the when you're on the dashboard. So I mean, I've peeked in a couple of times. I love Twitch primarily. Don't get me, you Twitch people, chill.
Yeah, I don't care about all that tribalism. Twitch, I'm more interested in watching it from afar. Like, Twitch makes the most sense for me. Yeah, and we'll continue to do so until it doesn't. There's no reason for me to jump to Mixer, but Mixer's doing some really interesting stuff. Mainly, they're trying to money their way in, and it's fun. It's kind of fun to watch. So
it's kind of working a little bit. Yeah, they're doing all right.
Yeah. So I hope, what I really hope is Microsoft continues to be consumer facing with this, that they continue to make this strong value proposition. Your camera just turned off.
It did, man. I was just thinking.
It was about time.
I was just thinking last year this time, I bet you could pull up any episode from last year and you probably hear us bashing talking about how great PlayStation is rocking it.
Here's the thing. I would still say PlayStation's still rocking it. The difference is at the end of this cycle, and they're still the clear monster leader. This isn't even about consoles anymore. It's about which one's being smarter about forward-facing services. And Microsoft is way ahead on this, like way ahead. And in fact, hey, wait, did your Stadia thing get delayed, or did you get the Premiere one, or what did you get? Because there was a delay.
I pre-ordered, and it's supposed to arrive in November, so it's not quite November. So I'm not sure.
Did you hear about the delay? Because there's a delay. Did you hear about that?
I have not. But I have that signed up through another Google account that I never checked.
Yeah, so I don't know which one you got, but one of those two got delayed that were supposed to be early November. Or whenever the day was. And then I just think that's just like another, like, way to go, guys. And it just feels like Microsoft's got an opportunity here. So,
I'm interested in what the Stadia is going to bring, but I'm not really, I know in the beginning it's not going to matter anyway, because I'm sure the service is going to suck in the beginning. I was just wanting to play around a little bit.
Sure.
So if it gets delayed, I'll live. And
you'll survive.
If it arrives, it'll be good.
So that's it with that. Great game. People should play.
Yeah, it was.
Now I'm going to tell you about Doraemon, Story of Seasons.
Doraemon!
Now you're hearing that and going, what? What is that?
And, what now?
I got news for you. It's a thing. It's legit. I'm trying to copy this over so chat can see it. Hold on a second, chat. This paste thing is not working. There we go. Here we go. So this is what this game looks like. Let me skip ahead a little. Okay. All right, so this Doraemon, or how you say it, apparently, I didn't know this, is this in Japan. there is a, in Japan?
Japan. Pocky sticks is what you're thinking of, I believe.
It's a delicious little treat. It's the anime. Geez, my brain today.
Oh, anime. Yeah, I love anime.
I had a migraine all day, and my brain cells are still kind of trying to recover. Anyway, they have an anime over there, which is kind of goofy and kind of a little, I don't know if it's aimed at kids, but it seems like it is to me. Right. It's about this googly-eyed, glasses-wearing kid and all of his friends and a robot cat, and they have adventures and they do whatever they do. Well, apparently they got together.
Apparently.
Like that kid. You know that kid I'm talking about? The one from, I'll play
another. Apparently.
I have another clip from him. He says this. Hold on.
Sound to me.
No.
Now I feel it.
No. No.
I don't watch the news.
It's that kid. Anyway.
That kid. Yeah, I know you're talking about now.
So it's the guys who made Harvest Moon back in the day, and then a whole bunch of Harvest Moon sequels.
Really?
And then they started making this Story of Seasons game, which is basically just like modern, their modern take on, I don't know why they changed the name, but it's their modern take on the whole farming simulator, relationship simulator. Let's go.
So are we watching a cartoon now, or is it turned into a game?
It turns into a game now. I will tell you this. It doesn't turn into a game very quickly.
Interesting.
I want to say I spent almost 35 to 38 minutes in the intro, not just the cartoon, but like there's a whole bunch of like dialogue and chat. I'm going to skip around a bit. But what you see right here with these four heads talking, that you get this a lot before you do anything in this game, and you just kind of learn the town and hear the dialogue, and they're jokey with each other, which I guess probably a ton of, I don't know because I don't know what the show is, but I'm sure there's a ton of fan service here for fans of the anime. But the game itself, once you finally get done with this ridiculous intro, and I really did start to feel like, oh my gosh, are you ever going to let me play a video game? Like, what are we doing here? Eventually you do play, and it's great. It's got, you know, if you liked Stardew Valley, if you like things like, I mean, they're a little bit different, but if you like Animal Crossing, if you liked the old Harvest Moon series, that sort of stuff, it's one of those. Like, straight up, it's one of those. What makes this different is there's a bunch of sort of quality of life improvements about how you harvest things, how quickly things go, how much stuff you can carry, how you can advance all of that. There's some definite improvements here, but the biggest draw for me is the graphics. So aside from these goofy cartoon characters, everything looks like it's painted like watercolor paint.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous freaking game. I'm playing this on the Switch, by the way. I should have mentioned that.
Oh, that's the place to play it. How much did this set you back?
This is a full price game. It's a $60 game.
Yeah.
They have it on PC. It's on PlayStation. I mean, it's everywhere. But I got the Switch version because these are the kinds of things this is the kind of loop I want to do, like in bed or on the couch, or I don't want to be in front of a TV or a toilet. I don't want to be in front of a TV or in front of a computer screen for hours and do this. But this aesthetic of this thing is really something. It's a beautiful game. And once you get going, that's the other thing. Once the sort of introduction 9-year story thing ends, and right now, by the way, on the YouTube video, I'm only 9 minutes in, this is still story. Let's see how far we have to go. Still story. Boy, this whole thing.
And more story. There's going to be some story. I've actually played a couple of games like this that are Japanese-based games that seem like it goes on, and at first I'm kind of like, I don't want to deal with all this exposition, but in other instances it works for me.
This entire 30-minute video that we're showing the chat, and I'm not showing them all of it, but I'm skipping around, is still intro. This is just story intro. It's ridiculous. It's my only complaint. And again, somebody loves that because they love this.
Sure, somebody loves
these characters.
The crap out of the fact.
Yeah. I think it's a
genre of some sort. I don't know what you would, like a subgenre.
Well, I mean, the farming thing is definitely its own kind of thing, but you're right. Like, just all the dialogue is more of a, it's fine. It's a little misleading because I got the demo first to see if I'd like it. Like you, I get the demo.
Gameplay right away, right?
Yep, they got you right in. They just said, hey, your new farm, you want to start doing stuff? And they gave me all these, like, tools to get going, and it was like immediately I was into it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I want to keep playing this. And then I got this. 38 minutes later, in fact, it took me two nights because I was so busy the first time. I'm like, I can't do this all right. I had to suspend it and come back to
how long? How long to beat? Let's see, 30 hours of watching it. No, I see.
30 hours? That better not be
right. Doraemon Story of Seasons.
Yeah, and they've had other Story of Seasons games, by the way. I think even on the N64 and forward, they had one for GameCube. Pretty sure there's been some more recent stuff, and they all look kind of crappy visually. This looks insane.
Holy Moses.
How much?
Oh, that's Story of Seasons. Okay, so that's not the Doraemon one, but the regular Story of Seasons, the main story, just those who are trying just to zip through it, 75 and a half hours.
Yeah, that sounds right. I suspect this will be similar to that if you're trying to just get story. Now, I don't know if after that there'll be any sort of, not end game, but, you know, more to do. You just keep doing, like just keep earning money or whatever. But so far, now that I'm finally to the gameplay, oh my gosh, the second video.
Maybe. Oh my gosh, here's something scary. There is no, there is nobody who has played this to log it. So, or there's six playing, and no one has gotten far enough along since it came out on the 11th.
It's a beast. It's a monster. It really is big. Normally, I don't like crossovers. Like, if you just said to me, hey, Scott, the next Harvest Moon-style game is going to be a crossover with SpongeBob SquarePants, I'd say, bite me in the butthole. Don't want to play your game.
Bite me in the butthole.
But
okay.
This, even though I think part of the reason it's working for me here is I don't know any of these characters. This is all new to me. I have no idea what these people are or what their deal is. So it's not bugging me. It's fine.
What's the deal with these people?
And the story's all right. The translations are good. There's no.
You ever watch Gumball?
Yeah, I like Gumball a lot.
The cartoon.
Yeah.
This style reminds me a lot of.
It's
Gumball,
a little
which I'm
Gumball.
Sure Gumball is probably lifted some of his style from this game. I think this has been around for a while.
Yeah. By the way, this is the second video. They are another 40 minutes in. How can this be? Maybe it took longer. Maybe it took longer than I thought it did. But if, okay, here's gameplay. Here's this kid. See him? It's like now you're like, oh, okay. This is a lot like what's the thing that we always talk about? No, the one that came out for PC and then later for everything else. And the Stardew Valley. People look at this and go, Stardew Valley. He's cleaning up rocks and putting trees away and cleaning up the weeds. And then he can sell them by putting them in that vent thing. And then people look at vent thing. Sorry, whatever that's called. It's not a vent. Whatever it is. You put your stuff in there and then overnight all your stuff sells. You got money in the morning.
Put it in the vent.
All that business kicks in. And when it does, that game starts to really shine, and I'm totally digging it. But man, I wish I could skip all that intro stuff. Like, for people who love this kind of weird genre, they love Animal Crossing, this style of thing, it's a total recommendation from me. I just wish I could tell you there was a, unless you'd you may love that intro stuff. That may be your jam. And if it is, I don't want to poo-poo it. I don't want to yuck your yum.
I'm actually interested in that. It actually looks pretty cool.
I tried to read most of it, but I started just freaking nodding off.
So I want to play this on my Switch, but I'd probably want to hook it up to my HD TV while the story's going on, then pop it out and run do something else. Are you playing this on your Switch Lite or you're playing this on your regular Switch?
Switch Lite.
Yeah, your regular Switch is dead to you now, right?
Not so much dead. I just, I only used the old one mostly for portable stuff, so the family's still using it for stuff, but for me, it's kind of just sitting there. Yeah. They were always meant to be more portable for me anyway. I can't speak for everybody else, but anyway, I think it's really fun. There's two recommendations. One, just rip through the story. You probably don't need it.
Rip it.
A lot of it is just to set up gameplay stuff that you're going to know anyway, because you already play video games, you know what to do. And then the other thing I would say is there's an option to turn all voices down, the volume of voices down. And I immediately did that because, first of all, there's no spoken dialogue, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, so you're doing that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And that stuff's fine. In the story, that stuff's okay. But when you're the kid working out in the yard, every swing of the axe, every swing of the pickaxe, every break, he goes,
And we know how you feel about that.
Just over and over, and it's so obnoxious. So the first thing I did was turn that down, and now it's a way better game. But anyway, I like it. It's if you like that kind of stuff, this will tide me over till Animal Crossing, which is my most anticipated game of spring, because I love these stupid things. I don't know what my deal is. But
I think it's a lot of fun. I love the fact that you love them so much.
Yeah, and all the systems are easy. It's like, oh, you got to sleep at night, and if you get too tired, you better take a nap, and
that's right.
If you forget to water your flowers or your crops for a couple of days, they have the risk of dying. So make sure you plant that.
Shrivel up, you moron.
Yeah, and make sure you plant the right stuff in the right season and all that kind of thing. So
holy crap on a stick.
What?
Okay, so you'd asked about my Stadia earlier. I ordered the Stadia Founders Edition, the Night Blue. It is supposed to be delivered between November the 21st and the 22nd. eBay, as they often do in their insano plans to take over the world, are selling these pre-ordered bundles for $949. What is wrong with you people?
Whoa, that's crazy.
Is anybody ordering that?
Not me.
What is wrong with you?
I definitely am not. Yeah, that's crazy. All right. Did you find out, though, about your delivery?
Yeah. Like I said, it looks like it's fine. Looks like it's supposed to be delivered by November the 21st to the 22nd. I don't see any delays on it yet. Doesn't mean it won't be, but
Was that the original date? The 20th or 22nd was the original date?
I want to say that was the original date because it seemed like I remember it being like later in November. I actually thought it was even further along. I thought it was like at the end of November, but I knew it was like further down the way.
Stadia. Ship date.
I got the Founders Edition. So they're saying 1 week ago. Let's see. The Founders Edition is sold out in the U.S. and Canada today, thus join the rest of Europe with the Premier Bundle now available in all 14 country launches. Premier Edition is officially advertised, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, here it is. Okay. Verge reports Google is shipping out bundles in the order which they receive them.
I ordered mine very early on.
Hold on. Let's see. Apparently, even those true believers who pre-ordered the pricey Founders Edition, that's what you got, says may not get them at launch date, but looks like Founders are probably going to be okay, but what was the other version you could get the same day? It just had less
Yeah, the stuff. Premiere edition.
Premiere definitely delayed. So
yeah.
So people who got that aren't happy about it.
Right. So you're not getting that. November 19th is actually the first date. So if I get it, like, you know, at that next couple of days, I'm fine.
Was that the dog?
What did it say? Did it say woof?
I think it sneezed. The kids are here too, but that was a loud noise.
Oh, I hope it's not going to get you. It's Halloween's tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'd hate for something bad to happen to
you. All right, Brian, tell me about Creature in the Well. What's that?
Oh, I'm going to tell you about the Creature in the Well. Okay. So, you know, you've played the dungeon crawlers, right?
Yeah, I like them.
Well, this is one of them. They're dungeon crawlers with a little bit of a twist. It's top down, and there's not only dungeon crawling, there's a lot of puzzle solving. Mm-hmm. And the puzzle solving is done in a pinball type manner. So as you go along, you're playing this android robot. I think it's more of a robot, really. And you have awakened, and you're the last of your kind. You're an engineer, and you're in this desert area top down. There's a storm going on. And you have to like find your way to this mountainous area. Once you find the mountain area, you encounter the creature in the well, who is mostly just arms in a pit, and he's very scary.
Are you a robot?
I'm the robot. I'm the robot engineer.
Okay.
And so I have awakened from some type of slumber. I don't know why I've been out. We don't find out right away. But so you get in there. And you find yourself a stick, and you start whacking stuff. All right, so you start whacking stuff, and you start releasing these energy orbs. And those energy orbs you can like collect with your rod or whatever you got, because there's a couple of weapon types, but they're one's like a collector, and the other one's like a repeller, so it can kind of like repel stuff. So you can like use this long sweeping motion, and you start collecting these energy balls. And then once you do, you can throw them or hit them at your targets, which are usually like, you know, you've seen bumpers like on the, when you play pinball, you know, you'll hit your flipper and it'll fly up there and hit a bumper and it'll bounce off.
Yeah.
That's mostly what you're doing. You're hitting bumper type objects.
Okay. But are you, when you're killing or fighting stuff, are you Diablo style doing that? Like, getting loot when they drop it, things like this?
Yeah, you do get some loot. It's not as much dungeon crawly as you'd probably like. I mean, it is dungeon crawling. Mm. Right, there's not a whole lot of loot. There's just a little bit of loot, and it's mostly in the form of a few like power things and
I love the weapons. Look of this though. This looks so cool.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
Wow.
I love how the art style is amazing. And you're looking right now, that's where the creature is. That's the creature in the well. And he's constantly taunting you. You don't really get to engage with him much, but you know you will eventually.
He's kind of a poo-poo head, I can tell already.
He's a poo-poo head. And what you have to do is, one thing that took me a while to figure out, though, because there's not a lot of instructions on what to do, which is fine. I like that sometimes. There's these pools of energy. So when you activate like an area, okay, so here gets the pinball action now.
I see. All right.
Yeah, so you got your little, you start out with like a little wimpy looking little hockey stick or something, or just a stick, and you got to knock those. And every time you knock things into the pinball area, you get points, and those credits allow you to unlock the door so you can get to the next area.
Oh, this seems crazy.
It's actually, it's a lot of fun. At first I was like, I don't know. I don't really. This is kind of weird, and it's kind of lame. And I'm like, oh, I'm having fun. Why am I having fun? Oh, yeah, because it's pinball.
Because games are fun. Yeah, turns out.
These games are fun. Yeah, it turns out they're fun. And but I kept getting killed, and I couldn't figure out how to restore my energy. And I someone in the chat room was watching me play the other day, and they said, oh, you got to get in those pools, those energy pools. So you may not notice them because of the way the art style, but you'll occasionally come across a little pool that looks like it's sparkling, and that's like these energy pools. And when you get on it, by the way, that's very satisfactory. Those little pinball rocking things where it just keeps hitting and re-hitting.
Yeah, it feels good.
It feels real good. Oh, by the way, one thing also that happens here, like in these pinball areas, it looks pretty straightforward, right? Like you're just collecting your balls and you're shooting at the areas. Well, what happens is some of these areas have convert the energy into fireballs. Just like that. And when it does, you have to avoid those.
Oh, they'll hit you and hurt you, will they?
It hits you and hurts you, right? So you have to keep hitting the things. Hitting the things over and over again. So Creature in the Well, I enjoyed it.
I think this looks really cool. I didn't even know this existed, so I'm in.
I didn't either. I saw it on the Xbox Game Pass. I was kind of going through the indie stuff, and that was one of the ones that was on my list to try out, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Anybody in the chat confirm this is a PC game as well, or is it just Xbox, I wonder?
Mm-hmm. I think it's part of the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, so you can play it on the PC or the Xbox if you have.
Well, I know that I have that, but I wonder.
I'm pretty sure this is probably everywhere. I'm sure it's probably like on Steam everywhere. This is.
Yeah, because I'll play it on the PC version, I guess. I forgot to even mention it. I downloaded another game, which ironically is also kind of stylistic like this, but it's that downhill bicycle thing. Forgot the name of it.
Oh.
Mountain Drop something.
Is this on the Game Pass as well?
Yeah,
this...
and it's cool, dude.
I think that's one I looked at as well.
We're going to talk about that next week, I think, next show, because it's freaking cool.
I got to mention another game that I played, because I switched back and forth between talking about Creature in the Well or Felix the Reaper, also on the Xbox Game Pass. It is this, you're a Reaper, but I guess you're like in training, and you play on these boards.
Do people fear you? Do they fear the Reaper?
They absolutely do not fear the Felix the Reaper.
Okay.
But you play on these boards where you have to make decisions based on a sundial. So you can only exist in the shadows. So you have to rotate the sun or the sundial in different directions and always stay within the shadows to move from location to location on the board. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to finish your reaping job by getting to certain areas and moving and manipulating the environment so that you can make that person get killed because you're the Reaper. The great thing about this is Jean-Luc Picard narrates.
Shut up.
All the beginning parts.
Now,
he kind of disappears as it goes further along, but him giving you the story, it's all there, man. I love it. I thought it's a beautiful little game. It's a little frustrating. I got frustrated a couple of times.
Yeah.
It was just too much, flipping stuff around, but it's stylistically, it's beautiful.
Well, not
listening to,
I was going to say not since, Elder Scrolls Oblivion, if I heard Jean-Luc Picard in my video game.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's just amazing. I love it. Like I said, it's such a cute little game. And I love the atmosphere. I love what they got going on. I just, the puzzles just don't satisfy me there.
You talk about, the chat room's asking, it's Felix the Reaper, guys, is what he's talking
Felix
about.
Felix the Reaper.
So far we've had Outer Worlds for PC and Xbox. We played both versions. We got Doraemon Story of Seasons on the Switch. Just now talked about Creature in the Well, also Game Pass, available on Steam and everywhere else as well, turns out. And Felix the Reaper. I'm also just going to say, for the record, because I was waiting so patiently for Outer Worlds to come out, I re-downloaded and started playing a fresh game of Fallout New Vegas because I love Fallout New Vegas so much that I thought, why the heck not? And also in preparation for this, I'm happy to report something that I don't know if people know. You get the same kind of vibe and satisfaction that I get out of those games and I get out of Outer Worlds specifically. I get that same loop and gameplay out of Elder Scrolls Online. That's where that game's at right now. And it's very good. So if you're like, man, I want to do something that's like goes on forever, but it's that same sort of stuff. ESO is killing it. It is not just a WoW clone. It plays very differently than that. It's very story driven. Mm-hmm. All NPCs have spoken dialogue. All the quests have multiple steps that are just not go kill things and tell me about it. Like, it's way more than that. And it hooks me in like the same way. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you like the Outer Worlds, but you've always just turned your nose up to ESO for whatever reason you have, whatever bias you have, I highly recommend checking out that game right now because it is cool.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. I just haven't had the time to play it. It's a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, it's very good. All right.
When are we going to play? We should totally play some ESO.
I'll play ESO right now. Goodbye,
let's
everybody.
Let's just do it.
Good night. Actually, if I didn't have stupid dinner thing tonight, it's not stupid, but I have a dinner thing tonight. If I didn't have that, I'd just say, let's play. But I have that. So maybe sometime this week or weekend, but we'll figure it out because I'd love to play. I'm in. I love it. I love ESO. So get in there. Let's make our own guild. Let's call it the Boop Guild. Goop, we'll call it. I don't know what we'll call it. But we'll go for the ESOOP. Yeah, it's very good. And honestly, people, I'm not kidding about this. The writing and the quest structure stuff and the RPG systems are really good. Really, really good.
Really good.
It's impressive. All right. Now this.
It's me, Mario.
All right. We're going to play a little game called Guess My Game. Guess your game. Guess my game. And it's a thing where we play a little sound from an older game, sometimes new. Doesn't matter. We don't care. We just try to play. It's just a little contest, you know, to see if we know. So I'm going to play you a little bit of stuff here, and then you're going to try to guess it, and then I'll do yours. Okay, Brian? This is how that works.
Well, I am down with this. Do it.
All right, here goes the first bit. See if you can hear this out. Hold on. I'm going to skip ahead a tiny bit. Okay.
Jeez, man. Is this Battlestar Galactica?
Nope. I'll give you a hint.
It's definitely Star Wars based. Come on.
Super Nintendo,
Star Wars based. You say Super Nintendo?
Yeah, Super NES. They were very popular, highly regarded at the time. There were two sequels made.
I mean, is it the Super Star Wars? I mean, everything was Super, right?
Nailed it. Super Star Wars. Yep. No, well done. This is the original Super Star Wars. This wasn't Empire.
Everything was Super when it came out for this. Yes.
You're right. That is true. I loved those games. I loved them. They were side-scrolling, and they were the first good Star Wars movies as far as I was concerned, and I loved them and played them and played them and played them and missed them terribly. Although, I guess you can get them now on some sort of compilation, but fantastic.
At first, I almost thought it almost sounded like the Lego stuff, but I knew that was too early for the Lego stuff.
Right. To me, it sounds like a Tron game or something like that. There's some quality to it like that, but the blaster's probably the giveaway. And by the way, that sound was Luke running through the Tatooine desert, killing like desert creatures. Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours now.
Do it.
I haven't previewed this at all, so I have no idea what I'm getting. Here it is. Let's see if I can guess. Ooh. Oh my gosh, this is so familiar immediately.
Exactly.
It's burger time?
Oh, you got it. Nailed it super fast. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
There's that doot 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 doot. That part just jogged my memory. I loved Burger Time in the day. It was so good.
I loved it.
Did you play
so
it a lot? Fun. You put quarters in that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I played so much Burger Time.
Yeah.
But that I must have gained 50 pounds that summer.
Really? Because you just stand and then you have the cocktail version or something? Or how'd you...
Yeah. That, you know, I was playing that, the root beer game. What was that one called?
Root Beer Tapper. Yeah,
Root Beer Tapper. Because you had Beer Tapper, then you had Root Beer Tapper, right?
Yeah, and they skinned it. So they had one for bars, where in a bar you go in and play it, and it was called Beer Tapper. And then they made one for kids and general audiences called Root Beer Tapper, and that would be in arcades and stuff.
Yep.
Which was great.
That was in 83, and Burger Time was 82. So they were both in the we were obsessed with our food based games.
Yeah, Beer Tapper or just Tapper if you want, whatever they want to do. They should remake that game with way better looking graphics and just give me a new version of that, because that's an awesome little game. Tapper's awesome. It's Tapper for bars.
Tapper for bars.
Yeah, you know Jake Tapper. He works for NBC. CNN. He's a anchor, TV anchor guy.
Right.
Actually, one of the best, most trusted dudes ever.
Most trusted name in network.
There aren't many of those guys. I'm just saying, like 24 Hour News Networks.
I have no opinion upon any reporter.
Yeah, they're not great, but he's great. Anyway, I wonder if he knows that. I wonder if he was named after Root Beer Tapper by his parents.
Absolutely. Born in 1969, they knew right away there's going to be an arcade game.
Oh, wow. That guy's like my age. Weird.
Yeah. So he's so old. He's 50 years. Oh, my God.
Damn straight. All right. That's enough of that. That was fun. Now this. time for us to discuss an email. No, yes, an email from someone.
An email.
That's right. This is from Jaundiced Hippo. Jaundiced Hippo.
Jaundiced? Oh, it's a yellow hippo.
I just got it. Yep. It took me a second. Didn't notice it before. It's a jaundiced hippo. Boy, I really need to start listening.
Activate Pac-Man.
All right, here it is. He says,
Activate Pac-Man.
He says, hey guys, have you guys ever said out loud on a show what your favorite game genre is? I don't think you have, and you should, he says. Have we?
I don't think we've ever I don't think we've ever addressed the question directly. Like, what is your favorite genre?
I mean, for me, we're not talking subgenres. We're talking the top level list, probably.
Yeah.
For me, it's RPGs. Just,
yeah.
That's it. Role playing games, 100%. Didn't used to be that way. I probably would have said, I don't know. I don't know what I would have said before. In the 90s, I didn't think RPGs were all that, but I've had a flip around. The whole world has, really, because there's RPG elements in every game these days. But, Cheru says roguelike, but roguelikes are a subgenre of something else. I don't think that counts as top level. Top level's got to be the list that everybody gives you when you go to look at their website and find out what games they have.
Right.
So, Brian, what would you say? What do you like?
Well, I would say, first of all, what's wrong with you, webcam? All right, there it is. I would say that, I'm with you, RPGs. I mean, I play them the most, and it's the most abundant genre for me. For my selection. However, I will say that I am all about a good bullet hell shoot 'em up.
Shmup.
If you give me a top down bullet hell kind of shoot 'em up, which is kind of a subgenre, but I know it's a shooter, but it's just something about those games. If you give me a good one, I'll just sit there and just play it all day.
Yeah, I think you're not wrong. I think that's a good call. By the way, here is the top level list, okay? Action, adventure, mm-hmm. role playing, simulation, strategy, sports, idle. Idle's kind of a new one.
I don't like idle.
Now,
I'm
inside
sorry.
Of there, you got things like under action, you got platforms, shooters, fighting games, mm-hmm. beat 'em ups, stealth games, survival games, battle royale games, rhythm games. So there's all this subgenre stuff. Under strategy, I think puzzles under there, or maybe puzzle should be its own. But baby,
I'm big into puzzle games just because it's usually where the good art is, and I think I like that.
Yeah, it's good
nice,
stuff, right?
Nice cross.
Me too. And this is where the story is. It's where the loop is that I love so much. Like I just want to just keep getting more cool stuff, and then unlock more cool stuff, and that's the genre that gives me that. Although, like I said, all games kind of have that in there now. Horror games are currently not on my list of favorite genres, but I will play them occasionally. So,
I like the idea of horror games, but it seems like it's always the ones that are executed poorly for me are the ones that depend upon making me not be able to see what's on the screen.
Sure.
If you just give me a portal of light, like a flashlight, I'm not going to enjoy that. That's not me.
Well, let me give you a fun note here. I just received a key from the developer of a brand new horror game called
Flashlight.
Wait for it to open. Here we go. Called The Beast Inside.
Oh.
Which I haven't read any reviews yet, but apparently this is really cool.
Apparently. Ooh, that looks scary.
It says here, The Beast Inside is a unique, gripping twist on thriller and survival horror. The game mixes intriguing story driven with adventure and unnerving survival horror experience. Immersed in the tale of a long buried secret, personal tragedies, and madness. Play as two protagonists living different centuries but bound by dark heritage.
Have I played this? Do I have this?
This is pretty new, I think. Yeah, October 17th it was released, so.
This looks really good. I like the little video footage.
The graphics look good. That. Yeah, it looks neat. So you may get a series of me playing The Beast Inside. It's coming up soon. I should have done it for October, but I didn't know this was coming out. So.
Nah, we've Octobered it up so much everywhere. You can't just focus in.
Agreed.
Right.
Agreed. Anyways, that's that. Hope you enjoyed my dumb reason for telling you that. I don't remember why I told people that, but that's the thing. That's
get with it.
Thank you, Jaundiced Hippo. We'll just call him Yellow Hippo. Thank you for the thing. Go get that checked out. If your pee's too yellow, you need to get that worked on. Whatever you got to do there, buddy. Boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. That's the email address to use. And as always, you can find us on our website, frogpants.com/BOOP. You can find Brian on Twitter at TheBrianDunaway. You can find me at Scott Johnson. The show is at Boop Show. Do follow it because it's a great place to find out when we're going live, other kind of cool stuff. We do giveaways there sometimes. That's Boop Show on Twitter. We also have a Reddit page, boopshow.reddit.com. And as always, you can leave us a voicemail, 801-471-0462. Brian, before we go, any words of wisdom from you?
Oh, let me tell you what. Look forward to my Pac-Man mural coming this week.
Great.
I have nothing. I have nothing. Plus, I was looking. I actually got a code recently for Gold Express. Maybe I'll play that.
What's Gold Express? Tell me more.
It looks like Gold Express is a game that I can't find really quickly, so you'll just have to take my word for it.
I'm going
to
take your word for it. That's fine.
I've got a code for it, and I was trying to sign in to see it, and so Gold Express is apparently a very common word elsewhere, but how about just give me some quick... Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You're not going to find it. Not going to find it.
Welcome to the Project Gold Express, a cyberpunk-style asymmetric multiplayer game which you can get survival experience. Maybe I won't play it. Jesus. No, it looks cool. I like it. It looks interesting.
All right. Well, check that out. It's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. Until next time, boop it up.
Booby.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam. I love steam.
From the people who brought you The Morning Stream and Coverville.
I gotta go lick my butt for 2 hours. Talk to you later, meow.
It started with Krull back in 2009.
There's a giant turd in space. That's what we're greeted with.
This is FilmSack. Starring Scott Johnson.
Bram Stoker is having a Bram Stroker. Get it?
Brian Dunaway.
You would do anything for my movie, but you won't do that. Right, right, yeah. I got it. Very funny. Mr. Loaf.
What's that now?
Brian Emmett.
Listen, you son of a bitch. I don't know what this filming sack is, but you're going to have to step up your game if you're wanting to sack me.
And Randy Deluxe Jordan.
Did I ever tell you boys about the time I was the last man on Earth?
No.
True story.
Also featuring the wickedly talented Mr. Scott Fletcher. Or Mrs. Cott Fletcher. That shit never gets old. This team of four cohorts dig deep down in the films that really matter, like Retrograde and Minority Report. And no, there's nothing goddamn symbolic about the water, Brian. It's just goddamn water. Jeez. Catch FilmSack every week on the Frog Pants Network. Oh, and I almost forgot. Congrats on making it 10 years with this shit. Real accomplishment, fellas. Here's to 10 more.